This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noah Lim in the studio this morning. Right now, let's take a look at the Chinese-EU relations. This week, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is on a five-nation tour of Europe, visiting Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, France, and Germany. When I was reading that out, Noel, I thought I was talking about a rock band doing its tour across the European region.
Yes, well, I suppose he's a rock star in his own right. This is his first overseas visit since the pandemic outbreak, and his visit comes at a time of increasing tensions, right, between the US and China. And observers, I think, see this as an attempt to cultivate and strengthen allies in Europe and perhaps to push forward his Belt and Road initiative. And so I think also another thing which is really important for China, they might be looking to persuade undecided EU countries to keep the doors open for Huawei, especially in countries like Italy and Germany.
Yeah, but Europe has been a constant critic of China's human rights policies, more so now with the political protests in Hong Kong. Will the two sides be able to forge a common front against an erratic US, or are the differences too deep to bridge for a better understanding at the stakes at play? We speak to Dr. Pradeep Taneja, lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne. Doctor, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Some experts are dubbing this five-nation Europe tour as China's damage control exercise, following criticisms of Beijing in Europe. Do you agree with this sentiment?
Morning, Roshan. This is a very difficult, I think, period for Chinese foreign policy. China faces a very unfavorable international environment. In fact, it's unprecedented since 1989. And therefore, I think Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit to Europe certainly is part of an effort to improve that atmospherics. And the countries that he's chosen, for example, he started his visit from Italy. Italy is considered to be, you know, more friendly country compared to some other European Union countries. So the choice of Italy also is very instructive, I think.
What outcomes do you think they will arrive? What outcomes could manifest from this visit?
I think it is to get a sense of what the European Union thinking is on China, and particularly to drive home a message to the European countries that what the United States, and particularly Secretary Pompeo, have been saying and doing for the last few months is not in European Union's interest, not to follow the American example. And in fact, in Italy, in his meeting with the Italian foreign minister, Foreign Minister Wang Yi said, you know, he talked about the so-called new Cold War, and he said the new Cold War will be very damaging for everybody. So clearly the message is that do not listen to what's coming out of, you know, Washington, and focus on a mutually beneficial relationship with China.
And do you think he will make any headway with the European countries?
Well, European countries have, they see China as a commercial partner. I mean, they have very close and long-standing relationship with the United States, and nobody really wants to have to choose between China and the United States. But in terms of the depth of the relationship, the European countries see the United States as an ally, as a country that has had a long-term security relationship with Europe, and a country that shares many of the values with the European Union. And remember, the European Union was supposed to be this normative power, you know, where values were important. But China also is important commercially for their trade interests. And therefore, European countries see China more as a customer, as a commercial partner, whereas they see the United States as a friend and ally.
And how much we've seen U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo just conclude his trips to Europe, and there's no overlap with Wang Yi's plans to tour there. Will we see a divided Europe moving forward in terms of support for the U.S. and China? I know you've already said that no one really wants to choose, but will we see maybe a break within the EU, the European nations themselves?
Well, there was in the past, you may remember, Roshan, there was criticism of China for creating this 17+1 grouping in Europe, where many of the countries from Central and Eastern Europe had joined with China in this forum, where China and European countries, these European countries, the 17 European countries, which includes some of the European Union members also. So this was seen as a very divisive way. But over the last couple of years, we have seen that even the 17 countries, which are part of this 17.1 platform with China, even some of these countries have all been very critical of China's human rights record. They've been critical of the situation in Hong Kong, in Xinjiang, in Tibet. So these countries are also raising a number of issues which China doesn't want to talk about. So I think when it comes to whether or not this is an attempt to divide Europe, I think although there have been efforts made in the past, but they're unlikely to succeed.
So with all that in mind, does this in any way put Europe or countries within Europe in an advantaged position as China maybe tries to court them and keep them in their, well, keep them working with them in terms of politics and trade policies? Could we see any reversals in Chinese policies there?
Well, certainly as China is under intense pressure from countries like the United States, even in Australia, where I'm sitting here, you know, Australian government's, you know, policies on China have also been, you know, unprecedented in a sense that Australia has been taking steps, you know, against Chinese interference and, you know, foreign influence debate. In fact, there's the news today that Australia is going to introduce a new foreign relations bill, which will restrict the state governments from engaging with countries like China, you know, in the way that they have. So this is an atmosphere that China is facing in different parts of the world. But in Europe particularly, the European Union has been negotiating with China an investment agreement. And Europe's interest is in getting with China an attractive investment agreement which will facilitate trade and investment by European companies, where European companies will be treated, you know, essentially as local companies. China also, of course, is keen to have this agreement. But after 30 rounds of negotiations between European Union and China, we still don't have this agreement. In fact, President Xi Jinping was supposed to visit Leipzig in Germany next month in September for this very important summit with the European leaders, all 27 of the European Union leaders. But that's now been postponed partly because of COVID-19 and partly because there is no agreement on this investment agreement.
Speaking about investments and trade, European countries are divided on their support of China's Belt and Road Initiative. Do you expect Wang Yi will still press ahead with this agenda in his visit, or this is not the best time?
Well, he has already mentioned the Belt and Road Initiative in Italy. And Italy, in fact, is the only G7 country which has signed an agreement with China, an MOU with China on the Belt and Road Initiative. So he's already said to Italy that, you know, that Italy should continue to make an effort to work with China on the Belt and Road Initiative. But I think in other European countries, in Holland and Germany and France, I think this will not be the first and foremost item on the agenda.
Dr. Pradeep, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Dr. Pradeep Taneja, lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne. Really trying to dissecting for us the situation between the EU and China there. Right now, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be getting into the Amended Insolvency Act with lawyer Lua Ai Siu. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.